We have a whole gaggle of people here from the commemorative Air Force.
Sure isn't a bunch?
Bunch, gaggle.
Whatever.
We have two pretty ladies and two manly men here from...
Pilots.
Pilots. They pilot here, they pilot there. Good morning. Can everybody identify themselves, please?
Yes, I'm Debbie King.
Tracy Toad.
I'm David Oliver.
And I'm Steve Brown.
Okay,
he's now
we've got
to type. It says president. He must be important.
No president.
Uh-oh.
I'm the only one that doesn't get to fly. That's what happens when you get to be president. You get to stay on the ground.
No, you fly, but it's just a desk, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what kind of ratings do you have to have to fly a desk?
Apparently, you have to have all of them.
Splinters, mostly.
Rated on judicious use of sandpaper.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Well, David Oliver, according to information that was passed on to us here, including a color photograph, you get to have the great job of flying Fifi, the CAF's B-29.
Yeah, that's why I get the color photo.
They save that for the important people.
Yeah, right. Believe it or not, man, can you believe that? I get to fly that big... silver airplane.
How old are you?
Yeah, he's about 16.
About that.
When I first started flying, I was 29. Same age as Paul Tibbets when he, of course, did the infamous mission. But I'm 30 years old now. And it just seems so much older.
Well, you first started flying Fifi when you were 29. You didn't first start flying when you were 29.
That's correct, yeah. First time.
Yeah, he came right out and said, I want to fly that one.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. But
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, they said, hey, you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. Come on out and fly the
B-29. Yeah, right. He looks good. Let's get him in there.
Yeah,
there
he'll look great in the color picture.
Yeah, but you know what? Actually, Randy Sohn, the pilot that flew it out of China Lake in 1971, had, in fact, that he got down off the flight after it landed in Texas, and they said, how many hours do you have on a B-29? He looked at his watch, said, about 6 hours. So, he literally read the book on the way to the airport.
Wow. Now, I understand the plane is physically hard to fly, like from control force standpoints and things like that.
Yeah, it takes a lot of muscle. There's no doubt about it. I mean, everything on the airplane really is not boosted in any way, so it's all cables and pulleys. I mean, there's a lot of friction in the system. And what they did was, because the control forces were so high and the pilots were complaining about fatigue, they actually re-engineered it so that the control yoke was geared in a way that it would go all the way around 180 degrees. So it's just really big movements.
Wow. Yeah, kind of like driving that old pickup.
Yeah. If you watch, there's a film, I think, that EA did last year, and it's still out there. And it's showing David flying the airplane in. And literally, the deflection is going 180 degrees like this. He's driving the bus very quickly. So it's quite the thing.
Yeah, I don't really go to the gym anymore. I just fly the airplane.
Yeah, so, you don't need to.
Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say, how did you get involved with the B-29?
Well, you know what? The Commemorative Air Force is it's really a great organization because it's become something that's really open to a lot of different people, a lot of different demographics, young and old, and it's a great place to just be welcomed. You know, it's a big family is what we say. We have a lot of fun. That's really kind of first and foremost, that we have fun together and we promote the mission to educate and commemorate. So when I got involved, really, it was an open group, and they said, hey, you can start washing the windows. You know, that's the first thing you could do.
I was going to say, did you have to wash the airplane?
Hey, there's a lot of oil you got to wipe, right?
Yeah.
To get to fly these airplanes, there's no doubt. But, you know, the ability to get involved and just volunteer is there. There's a lot of opportunities. All you got to do is just really come out and show up and just have an attitude like, hey, what do you need me to do? So you wash windows or you fly the airplane. What do you get to do? Hey,
here's a desk. Fly this for a while.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Dave was talking about what did he do before. When David first came in the organization, I got to know him early because he has another skill set that I knew nothing about, the fact that he could fly. But he came in and volunteered his efforts in filmmaking and editing and putting together. So he helped us put together some really unique pieces that helped us with the Red, White, and Loud tour with Aaron Tippin. Matter of fact, the film piece he does still opens the show that we do with Aaron. And some other videos that he was a videographer a couple years ago on site, did some video vignettes with me in it. All this was going on. I didn't have any clue that David flew, and then I kind of found out he was a pilot. Well, next thing I know, he's flying all kinds of crazy missions. David's got a very varied background in piloting, and next thing you know, he's in the program, and not very long, as you see, he ends up as the pilot in command and the operations officer. So just goes to show, like David says, you start one place, and a lot of people come in and say, well, how can I just step into the cockpit? And we don't do it. I mean, we are a big family, but you got to get in with the family. You got to come in, do your time, do a little work, and don't expect, you know, step in the cockpit and hop out and have somebody else chalk the airplane. We're not an airline, so it's a volunteer organization. Everybody has to pull their load.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people, they say that's like the number one question. How in the world did you get this job? And I always say, well, I just showed up. You know, I mean, seriously, that's what you really got to do is come out and volunteer. That's really all it takes. And we'll welcome you. A little bit of piloting skill
doesn't hurt. Yeah,
definitely.
You have to have that for sure.
What did it take for you to get into the left seat on the B-29?
Well, after the checkbook ran out.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the neat thing about the B-29 is that it's supported by its touring and, you know, the shows and venues that it goes to. So for somebody of, you know, kind of maybe a younger age, I can come in. And there's no way, to, obviously, that I could financially support that airplane. So I did that through my time. You know, that was my contribution to the airplane, was coming out and getting involved. I became the flight operations officer, which was really just a job of logistics, getting the airplane from A to B and figuring out, you know, getting the crew fed and make sure they're happy and have a place to sleep. And then make sure that the airplane does it safely, and learning from a lot of our seasoned members who've been flying this airplane for years. And, you know, there's kind of been a turnover, certainly, because the airplane was down since 2004. And it's really been rescued a couple times through the years. And through the hard work and dedication of all the volunteers with the Commemorative Air Force, they've kept this thing going. So with that came a checkout in the right seat. And then it was really probably up to me. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, you know, I've got an opportunity here. How do I maximize it to just go in there and learn everything I can possibly learn about this airplane? I mean, just live, eat, sleep, and breathe B-29. In fact, one day, I remember I was sitting at dinner with my wife, probably kind of, you know, in a daze, staring off in the corner, and she said, "You're thinking about that B-29, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm guilty, you know, because you kind of got to own it a little bit." And I think that's what gave me the ability to transition to the left seat. But I really, really couldn't have done it without the mentorship of a lot of our seasoned members who have a lot of experience with these warbird aircraft. And so that skill and trait is not something that's going to be naturally passed down. We have to be diligent about making sure that these old warbirds are preserved, because they're operated in a very particular way.
Well, look, and let's not make no doubt about it, David is one of the finest pilots around. There's no doubt about it. He was checked out by Charlie Tillman, who's regarded as one of the best warbird pilots in the world. Charlie recommended David. We got a lot of pilots that wouldn't be able to step into the role that David did, so he's got the skill. And you ask about the checkbook. You know, the CF is the world's largest airplane co-op. Nearly none of our members have a lot of money and can support their own warbirds. So there's plenty of guys who can walk in with $2 million and buy a Mustang and buy their way into a cockpit. You can't do that in the CF. And so to be a pilot sponsor on an airplane is a very, actually relatively small financial contribution. The unit itself takes on the care and feeding of these airplanes. So this B-29 is actually a self-sufficient business operation, and we run it like a business because we have to keep that airplane safe, mechanically sound, and with the right pilots. So our whole operation is built on a business model that we can do with volunteers, because there's only about 30 paid staff in the whole organization, of which I'm one of them. But the other 9,500 people that actually keep these airplanes flying are all volunteer.
Do you have problems finding people that want to be the volunteers? I imagine they show up and then find out how much hard the work is, and that changes their mind a little bit.
Well, like any organization that involves people, you know, people get along or they don't get along. It's a family. And sometimes, you know, the kids and mom and dad don't get along. So, and it takes a special person who's got the time and the energy and the resources to volunteer. And we've got people that actually volunteer basically year-round, and people that support this airplane that don't fly. I mean, there's a couple that works as the tour coordinators, the Kim and Phil Parton, who volunteer pretty much year-round for this organization, travel around with Fifi, do a ton of hard work for no pay, just for the reward of being part of it. So, you know, we have a saying, you come for the airplanes, you stay for the people. And so that's what it's all about.
Yeah, now, and because it's volunteer, I'm sorry to interject, but because it's a volunteer organization, we all want to be here. We all have this common denominator, this common thread of this passion for these airplanes and the generation it represents. So it's very easy for us to show up and very easy for us to quote-unquote work when we don't mind grabbing the rag and wiping the oil, because it's something we all enjoy. So none of us have to be there. We all want to be there, and we do it as much as possible.
Now, we've talked about pilots and what it takes to become a pilot. How about a mechanic? Not everybody can turn a wrench, and certainly on something as complicated as that aircraft. Do you have trouble finding mechanics and people that are qualified to do the maintenance work?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no doubt that these airplanes are not maintained like a modern airline aircraft. Parts and pieces are difficult to come by. We say that we could really fabricate any part with modern machinery, but that it's not necessarily going to be very cheap, right? So, or inexpensive. So these guys are really, you know, for instance, we had a couple boost pumps, you know, that we've had some issues with this year, and they go back to the overhaul shop. Well, this boost pump might have been overhauled 20 or 30 times in its lifespan, you know, and so there's a degradation there, even in the overhaul. So getting the mechanics mindset is certainly very important. And we've got in our squadron, you know, two full-time guys who just maintain the B-29, the B-24, and now a Beech-18 that are just full-time. And those guys are absolutely fantastic. But they really are a breed in of themselves because they've really honed in their skill on warbirds.
Yeah, and different warbirds require different levels of skill. And we've got plenty of AMPs that are and AIs that are members, and they supervise, you know, non-mechanically skilled laborers that get in there and work on the airplanes.
I've shown up and just asked, what can I do? And if the bomb bay door is, you know, requiring some kind of a wrench turn, they'll come over and show you exactly what they want. Do it, they come back, check it, and they'll put you on another project. It works out really well.
Yeah, they're really very open. I mean, it's, people come in, they say, well, how can I help? We just put them right to work. There's, you know, there's definitely jobs that can be done under supervision.
Do you guys have any units above the Mason-Dixon line? We're from Pennsylvania, so.
Yeah, we do. We've got units in Washington, D.C. area, in Virginia. So we've got one in Warrenton. We've got one just outside of Norfolk. We've also got a new unit in Rhode Island with a T-6. And then, of course, in the Midwest, we have other units. So there's quite a few. We've got one in Minneapolis, just over the road from here. And so there's actually 70 units spread among 28 states.
Wow.
Plenty of opportunities.
Plenty of opportunities, definitely.
Well, we'd like to thank you all for coming in, because we probably drug you out of bed.
Well, if you got a minute, what I want to tell you about, and what you're seeing represented here is the new face of the CAF. You know, we came from the World War II generation where it was predominantly men, predominantly older men that had flown in the war. And now this is, you're seeing the new face of the CAF. You've got two ladies here, both co-pilots in the B-24, four-engine bombers. David, as you heard, with the B-29. And we've got the diversity of the Red Tail project that we've got going on with the son of a Tuskegee Airman as the leader. And we've got women and men, young women and men, leading different units in the organization. So it's not just if you're an old guy with a lot of time and money. That's not who we are. We're the changing face of the CF, and this is really representative of it.
Very good. Well, I want to again thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm Fast Eddie.
This is Digital Dave.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.
I am Lynn May with the DAV flight team.
Okay, that's Dave's flight team?
Now, you know what? If it was Dave, wouldn't it have an E on it?
No.
No, not the way I spell.
Okay. No, you know, it's funny, though. We get a lot of people come up to us and say, what is DAV?
Yeah.
You know, and we're the Disabled American Veterans. And the reason we do the outreach program that we're here to do in Oshkosh is to tell people who we are and what we do and what we're about. And we do a lot of exciting things to get them to come see us. And, you know, just public awareness. That's what it's all about.
And then I guess you'd make it possible for some disabled veterans to fly?
It's rare that we go to a show when a veteran or whoever says, hey, how can I get a ride on that airplane?
Yeah, okay.
You know, we bring in the B-25.
Come on, veterans.
Yeah, there you go. But the B-25 is one of those beautiful airplanes that really does draw some attention. And, you know, that airplane's earned it. It launched off the Hornet during World War II to bomb Tokyo. As you saw yesterday, that first and last flights, the first flight on there, and those guys were volunteers. Such rich history. And that mission was so important back in 1942. Wow. But I'll tell you what, the B-25 is here on another mission, and that's one of public service and service to veterans. And that's why we're here.
And by B-25, we're talking, of course, about Panchito.
Yes, we are.
And you can't miss this thing. It's polished so nicely. You can shave in this thing.
Yeah, yeah. If you guys are not doing anything later, you want to come by, we'll give you a rag and some polish. And
oh, I
we shine
you were
that all the time. Yeah, yeah.
I thought
sorry.
You were going to let us shave in it or something.
I was hoping they let us sit in the cockpit and make engine noises, but so much for that.
Okay.
Well, you, we would do that for you.
Uh-oh. And why as for long me as and not for him?
Because they need something to put up on YouTube.
I think we've already made that. Thank you very much.
Well, the B-25, like I said, the history is so rich, and the mission is so important. I know you talked with Don Samuels earlier in the week.
Yes, ma'am.
Our national commander, and he told you so much about the down nitty-gritty benefits and the reason that we do what we do for veterans. And those things are so important. But, you know, right along with that, we like to have a good time. We bring in the B-25 to keep that history alive. We talk to the young folks, not only the veterans that are coming back, but some of the young people that come by. They don't know what the DAV is all about. They don't. Some of them don't understand really what those veterans did for them. You know, all gave some. Some gave all.
Right,
exactly.
For our freedom. So we can't say enough about them and be grateful enough. But we have a good time. We have stickers we give out. We have information about the B-25 and the DAV. We got all kinds of brochures. We bring in the local DAV chapter members to come and work with us there at our display. Because if you have a specific question, you know, where do you guys meet? What time's your meetings? Or what do you do about this or that? Or how could I get a ride to the VA hospital if I need it? Those are the people that really can answer those questions. We bring it in, we create that awareness, and we make it available to anybody out there. And, you know, they do the rest. So they're all my heroes. I get to travel the country with this program, reaching out to the veterans and the patriotic public, and I get to meet America's greatest heroes, and that's all those veterans out there. No matter what their job was, if they served our country, they're my heroes.
And emphasized nicely, I say, with that jet pass.
Absolutely.
That's right. Sound of freedom, right?
Hey, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate everything you've done for the disabled American vets, and maybe someday they won't need your services because we won't make any more. But
well, you know, that's kind of a lovely thought.
Yeah, I know, but
wouldn't
this is
I be
the real
out of
world.
A job, though? No,
hey,
no.
Would you mind being out of that job, though?
Not at all. Not at all. You know, like I said, we can't do enough for them, and we really want to emphasize that it's veterans helping veterans, and we're not just here for veterans, but here to tell everybody out there what you can do to help as well. I mean, donate to your local DAV. Donate your time. You can volunteer to drive. You can volunteer for each individual chapters. They have all kinds of projects that they do for their community that is specific to their area. So there's all kinds of things. And man, what better job would there be than to helping a veteran?
Absolutely. You have a website, I'm assuming?
You would be correct.
And what would that be?
That?
Let's just pull it right out of you.
You're tough. Go to dav.org, and you can get any information. You can get information about a chapter in your local area. You can get information about some of the services that are available, some of the activities and things that are going on. You know, you could even find the little area that says air shows and see where we're going to be next with the DAV flight team. Also, if you're on Facebook, you can go to DAV Flight Team and like us on Facebook. When you do that, you're entered in a chance to win a beautiful wooden model of the B-25 Panchito. We give away one per year to all the new likes on Facebook. So, you know...
I'll be right back.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, go do that. Also, if you're out here at EAA Air Venture, stop down at Warbird Alley and see us. We're also going to give away one of those models at the end of the week here.
So very nice.
That'd be a nice little surprise to get in the mail in a couple weeks, a nice brand new wooden model of Panchito, right?
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
You guys are going to come down and enter?
I don't know if we're allowed to. You know, Radio People's Association.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Whatever. Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah. Good answer. Good answer.
Go. So. Just hand us a rag. We'll polish the plane, sit in the cockpit, make engine noises, and try to win the plane.
Wow.
You've got a plan.
I was going to say.
We really appreciate you guys because we're out here to spread the message about the DAV, and we couldn't do it without people like you helping us get on the air here and tell the people what we're all about and what we're doing.
Sure. I don't know. After the way we started this show, you probably wished you'd gotten on someone else's program.
Should we tell her that we volunteered in other places and they turned us down?
Yeah, exactly. This was
we
last
wound
resort.
Up here, last ditch effort.
Hey, you guys haven't seen me crack the whip, see?
Oh, boy.
I'll put you to work.
Oh, boy.
Mike and I run the outreach program, and we love what we do. We're passionate about it. We want to keep that history alive, and we really, really in our hearts agree with the mission of the DAV, which is building better lives for our nation's disabled veterans and their families. So, you know, it's in our hearts, we love it, and we want everybody to come join in.
Not only that, but it's also a very worthy cause, helping out all our disabled veterans. And God knows they need the help, because
right.
The government... Well, you know, all you got to do is mention government and everybody just groans.
Well, one of the big things we do is we help them with all that paperwork. We represent them the way an attorney would represent you in court. We help the veteran and represent them when they go to the DA, the VA, to apply for their...
Feels like the same thing, though, doesn't it?
Well, sometimes to some of them it probably does.
Yeah.
But we do everything we can to make that process a little easier.
I guess even just explaining to them how this process works is a tremendous help.
Well, the paperwork in itself is overwhelming. And, you know, did you ever get government paperwork you had to do and you thought, yeah, is it worth it? We have a volunteer with us that said, you know, Lynn, the reason I do this so much for the DAV is because when I got out of the service, I waited 13 years before I applied for my benefits. And he said, that was 13 years I could have got those benefits that I earned, and I just didn't get around to doing it. And that's why what we're doing here is so important. We want to reach out, especially the young people that are coming back now. They don't know what benefits they're entitled to. And if they do, they don't really know how to go about the process to get those benefits. And doggone it, they've earned them. It's not like we're giving them a handout. They've earned those benefits by paying the price for us. And we want them to know what's available and help them get what they've earned.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a worthy cause.
Very worthy cause. Don't forget, check out the website, dav.org. Or if you're on the property, come on down and see Panchito. You can't miss it. And, of course, for you
them on Facebook.
For you Facebookers, you can like them on Facebook. It's DAV Flight Time.
Flight Team.
Flight Team.
Oh, jeez. I'm losing it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Also, at 10 o'clock, we're doing Warbirds in Review, and Panchito is featured with maybe the Raiders.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, come on down to Warbird Alley, take a look around, see what the DAV is all about. We'll answer any questions you have.
Very good.
And I'll let you polish the plane, too.
Oh.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
There's always something leaking out of one of those radial engines that needs to be cleaned
up.
Thank
goodness.
You've been listening to Lynn May from the Disabled American Veterans. I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave, and this is EAA Radio.
What's left of it.
Yes.